And we've come here to the 16th chapter. And this is telling us about something that God informs us will happen in the future. And it seems in the seven-year tribulation period, as you study the book, references are to that period of time in the future. And we are looking here at the final series of judgments that take place. So I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 16 here, beginning in verse 1, Revelation 16 and verse 1. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, 'Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy.' And I heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.' And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not, since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." You know, there are some people today that would rather not teach and preach anything about the wrath of God. And, you know, it's a lot easier to emphasize God's love and God's grace. And those are wonderful doctrines which the Bible teaches. But we are not being faithful to the Scriptures if we do not preach and teach about the wrath of God. The Bible teaches it. And this is one of those chapters which is all about God's wrath. John 3, verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We've been studying in the book of Romans, and that's another book that teaches about God's wrath in the first chapter. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know, there's a present manifestation of the wrath of God even right now. The Bible teaches that. But there's also a future manifestation. And the punishments, the judgments that God sends upon the earth in the tribulation, all of them are manifestations of God's wrath. And God's wrath is something that is a major doctrine of the Scriptures. I think it is somewhat different from the wrath that we see in each other from day to day. The wrath of God is part of His character. It is an outworking of who He is. One person has said that the wrath of God is the settled opposition of His holiness to evil. You know, God is a holy God. And when sinners violate God's holy character, God's holy law, there are consequences to that. God's character demands those. And it isn't loving to not warn people about future wrath, to not tell people about the judgment of God that will be poured out upon this earth, which we are considering here tonight. And these judgments are called the vile judgments here, or bowl judgments. The idea is these angels are given these little vials or small bowls, and they are a picture of God's wrath being poured out upon the earth at this time. We've seen the other series. The tribulation begins with the seal judgments being opened up. As they're opened up, judgments take place upon the earth. Those are followed up by the trumpet judgments. There's seven of those. And those are the angels blow the trumpets. Certain judgments fall out upon the earth. And then this final series of judgments is the vile judgments. Those are all given to us in chapter 16 here. These are distinct from the other judgments. I think we'll see that as we go through. There's some similarities, but they really are different than the other judgments. I'll try to point that out here. And they are very severe. They affect nearly everybody in the whole earth. The other judgments, they've been partial, affecting certain fractions of the population. But these judgments affect everybody. And they are intense. They happen quickly. And they come near the end of that seven-year period. And so we'll consider these, each one of them here tonight. We'll look at the first vile judgment. Notice that in verse 2. This is the sores that come upon the people of the earth here. Verse 2, "The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." If you remember the plagues of Egypt, you probably remember that there's a similarity to those. Here, the sixth plague in Egypt was similar, was boils. Moses took ashes and he threw them up into the air, and boils broke out on all the Egyptians. And these are sores, similar to that, and they're called noisome and grievous. The word for noisome is just the word that means bad. And these are bad and grievous. The idea is that they will not go away. There's no treatment that somebody can go to the doctor and get for these sores. They are just there, and they fall on everybody that has the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. And remember back in chapter 13, we read about the actions of the beast and his associate beast, and you know, they are enforcing the worship of the beast. And the way they're doing that is by controlling everybody's buying and selling. You have to have this mark. And that shows that you're a beast worshiper. And there will be some that refuse that, and most likely a lot of those people die. Perhaps not all of them. Chapter 12 tells us about what seems like a national Israel, the woman, and she is in refuge somewhere, nourished by God. And it may be that just like in Egypt, Israel was protected from all those plagues. It could be in the future tribulation period that Israel, believing revived Israel, would be not worshiping the beast and therefore protected from these plagues. So the first vial here is the sores. Now let's look at the second vial, verse 3. That is the sea turning to blood. Again, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. You say, hasn't this happened before? If you've been following along here as we've been going through Revelation, it should sound familiar to you because, yes, as a matter of fact, the second trumpet judgment involved a third of the sea turning to blood. And a third of the sea creatures being destroyed. That's in chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, that was a third. This is all the sea. The trumpet judgment was a partial judgment upon the sea. This is everything. All the sea turning to blood. Everything in the sea dies, according to this second vial judgment. And that brings us to a similar judgment here in the third vial. And that is the fresh water turns to blood. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And you say, hasn't that happened before? Well, yes, in a way, the third trumpet judgment, chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, was similar. It affected the fresh water systems. Remember that there is a star that falls from heaven, and its name is Wormwood, and it poisons all the fresh water systems on the earth. But this is a little bit different. This involves the fresh water turning to blood. All the fresh water systems turning to blood. Just like that first plague in Egypt. Remember the Nile turned to blood. God trying to deliver his people there. And notice in this third vial judgment, John hears something about God. We hear a confirmation of the justice of God here. Verse 5, I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. The angels in heaven recognize what's going on here is the perfect justice of God. They recognize that the people that are receiving the judgments on this point here are guilty of killing followers of God. And we know there's going to be a great persecution of God's people in that time period, and the angels recognize what God is doing is these people on the earth are getting what they deserve. They shed blood, and now God has given them blood to drink. Perfect justice of God. And they say in verse 7, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. True and righteous are thy judgments. And here we're reminded again that God's wrath being poured out is in perfect conformity to his character. This is right for God to do. This is not God just blowing up and getting angry at somebody and venting his steam. No, that's not it at all. This is God acting in conformity to who he is. Just, true, and righteous are thy judgments. And then we see the fourth vile judgment here in verse 8. This is people of the earth being scorched by the sun. verses 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Somehow, God will change the action, the activity, the function of the sun, and it will result in great intense heat and people being scorched by the sun's heat at this time during this judgment. You know, you've probably studied in your science books about the position that the earth has in relationship to the sun. It really is the perfect position for sustaining human life. And scientists tell us that if you were to go to the next planet over towards the sun, which would be Venus, and take the average temperature of Venus closer to the sun than we are, the average temperature of Venus is 867 degrees Fahrenheit. If you were to go the other direction, away from the sun, the next planet from Earth, away from the sun, which is Mars, the scientists tell us that the average temperature of Mars is minus 85 degrees Fahrenheit. And the average temperature here on Earth is a balmy 59 degrees Fahrenheit, average, if you take the average. And I'm not sure how God is going to produce that scorching of the sun, just more intense sun's rays or what. But somehow, God is going to send this judgment. Notice the reaction of the people on the earth here. We're told about that for the first time. Are they repenting? No, they're not repenting. Verse 9, they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. They repented not to give him glory. You know, the people on earth recognize where these plagues are coming from. They know it's from God. And instead of turning to God in humble repentance, acknowledging their sins, they blame God for their problems. They blaspheme God. And they do that over and over again here, as we'll see. And then we come to the fifth vile judgment here, which is darkness. In verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues in pain, for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. With the fifth vial judgment here, there's a little bit of change in emphasis. Up until this time, God is kind of using the elements, judging the elements, the the water, judging with fire. But here we see, notice the emphasis here, the target is upon the seat of the beast. The angel pours out his vial upon the seat of the beast. You probably have a note on that word for seat. It is the word throne. God is somehow targeting the political system of the beast that is on the earth at this time. And it seems like the darkness that comes as a result of this, it makes a lot of the other troubles worse. People are in intense pain as a result of this darkness. How does that happen? How is there darkness that causes so much pain? I don't know. But it's some kind of darkness that has that result. And people are gnawing their tongues for the pain that they feel. And again, they are blaspheming God. They're blaming God for all their problems. Why are they receiving all that? It's because they are sinners against a holy God. They will not repent. And so God sends this judgment here of darkness. And then we find the sixth vial judgment given to us in verses 12 through 16. And this, again, is a little bit different than the other plagues. What we see here happening is a preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. With the sixth vial judgment being poured out, what God allows to happen is the world being prepared for the final battle that will take place here on earth. Preparation. And notice how the world is prepared for that. First of all, the Euphrates River is dried up. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I don't see any reason why not to take this as the literal Euphrates River that's mentioned in the Bible, mentioned in Genesis, also mentioned here in Revelation. God allows the blood, maybe, or whatever is there in that river at this time to be completely dried up for the purpose of kings of the east to cross over in preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. And why are they wanting to come over? We don't know exactly. There's some suggestion that they come in order to put down a rebellion against the beast. Perhaps they come to put down the rebellion of the believers that are Israelites. The Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, that the nations will gather against Israel. And perhaps the kings of the east are crossing that river. The countries, the armies of the east, whoever they are, crossing over to assist in putting down that rebellion. And then the second way that the battle is prepared is the nations are deceived. And we read about that in verse 13 through 16. John says, I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Here we are told about three individuals. Perhaps you've heard of these three individuals referred to as the unholy Trinity. And this is a verse that puts all three of them together. We've already learned about all three of them. The dragon, who is that? That's Satan. Revelation 12 tells us that. Out of the mouth of the beast. And then out of the mouth of the false prophet. We've learned about those two people in Revelation 13 especially. But they're all put together. And those three entities, beings, are used to summon the nations of the world to this great and final battle. We're told that the way that they do it is demonically. John sees unclean spirits. The Bible refers to unclean spirits. That's one way that the Bible refers to demons. Jesus cast out unclean spirits from people. And they are used to summon the nations of the world to this final battle. You know, that's happened before. The Old Testament tells us that evil spirits enticed, I think it was Ahab, to enter into battle. And the same thing will happen in the tribulation. Demons will entice the armies of the world to come and fight here at Armageddon. Something John wants to tell us here in verse 15. God wants to tell us, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, Revelation is full of warnings like that. And even a sudden warning right in the midst of this, for who's ever reading this, you don't have to go through it. There's a way to avoid all of this mess. You don't have to. And John compares it to if you go through this, it's going to be like you forgot to put on your clothes in the morning. And you're going to be ashamed if you're not prepared. The way to be prepared is to put your trust in Jesus Christ and be saved from this wrath. The Bible gives us that promise in Revelation 3:10 that God will keep us from this hour of trial, which God is preparing here on the earth. You don't have to go through it. And then he tells us in verse 16, the place where these nations are gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. I think most of us are familiar with that word, but it is a Hebrew word, two words. And that's what it sounds like in Hebrew, Armageddon, basically. But the two words are Mount, the Mount of Megiddo. And this refers to a place in Israel, in Palestine. We know where it is. And it is a hill country. There isn't just one mount. There's many different hills in that area. But in that area, there is a battlefield, which you can visit even today. And it's a historic battlefield where many battles in the Old Testament have been fought. And this is where the final battle will be fought, in the hill country of Megiddo, Armageddon. And this sixth vial, sixth bowl, is the preparation for that. God will allow the nations of the world to be gathered, perhaps against Israel, there in Israel, to fight this final battle. And then we see the seventh vial here in verse 17. This is a couple different things happen here. We see an earthquake, the fall of Babylon, and a hailstorm. A couple different elements to this last vial, the seventh vial. And verse 17 says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The first element of this judgment is a storm and an earthquake. And it seems like this earthquake affects the entire world. We're told about some of the effects in verse 19. It says, the great city was divided into three parts. What's that talking about? Well, if we were to go back to Revelation 11, verse 8, we would see what the great city is. And it is clearly there, Jerusalem. And I think that's what it's talking about. Jerusalem, as a result of this earthquake, being divided somehow geographically, topographically, into three parts. The Bible does tell us about topographic changes that will occur in the end times. Perhaps that's a reference to it. Jerusalem divided into three parts. And then another element of that is the fall of the cities of the nations. It says here in verse 19, and the cities of the nations fell. It seems evidently that the entire world is affected. All the great cities of the world are affected by this earthquake. Cities of the nations fell. Changes all over the world as a result of that. And then John tells us about a second element here in this seventh vial, and that is the fall of Babylon. We see that in verse 19. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, Lord willing, we're going to learn about Babylon in chapter 17 and 18. And there we will find that Babylon stands for the commercial, the political, and the religious system that is on the world in the tribulation, controlled by the beast. And God is going to bring judgment upon that system, represented by Babylon. And we see that evidently this seventh vial actually continues and is kind of expanded for a little bit in the book of Revelation. We see an expansion of that described to us in chapter 17 and 18. Then we see in verse 20, another result of this earthquake, every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Well, I remember when the Frinks were here, he told us, Pastor Frink told us that this is where New Zealand is referred to in the Bible. Every island fled away. Maybe so. It is an island. And great changes to the mountains, to the islands on the earth, earthwide earthquake that takes place there. And then we see this hailstorm. That's part of the seventh vial. In verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Commentators tell us that a talent can be anywhere from 100 to 130 pounds. So imagine a hailstorm where you've got 100-pound hailstones. That would do some damage to your car. It'd do some damage to you, too. It would kill you if you got hit with one. And certainly not everybody is killed, because we read about people that are still there blaspheming God. Verse 21, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Probably for many people today, if we were to go and show them Revelation chapter 16, it would be hard for them to believe that God would do that. We've never seen anything like it. But the reason for that is because at this present time, God is patient and long-suffering, even with his wrath. And we read about that over in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Don't presume on the patience of God. God is patient and long-suffering, and he wants everybody to repent. But there is coming a time when God will pour out his wrath upon this earth. And people that are here on the earth at that time will be so hard-hearted that they will blaspheme God, they'll blame God for their problems. Unfortunately, people do that today. But God is patient. He is gracious. And he's provided us with a way of salvation to be saved from wrath, from this wrath and from the wrath that he will pour out for all eternity in hell. And we can be saved from that through Jesus Christ. Faith and trust in our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we recognize that the wrath of God is a reality. How many people don't even recognize that your wrath is even poured out right now? The fact that you've turned them over to their sin. We pray that we would take seriously the warning that's here in this passage. and that we would make sure that we will not be part of this. We can be saved from this wrath. And we thank you that you provided for that salvation in our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. I invite you to take your hymnal as we close and go to hymn number 39.